As we begin a study in Isaiah today, Skip Heitzig points out a couple of unique things about this book.
The whole Bible can be seen in one book, the book of Isaiah. There are 66 books in the Bible. How many chapters are there in Isaiah? 66 chapters. The Old Testament has 39 books. The New Testament has 27 books. That's interesting because Isaiah naturally breaks exactly the same way. The first 39 chapters have an emphasis. The last 27 chapters have an entirely different emphasis.
Make the connection.
It's easy to dismiss the prophets of the Old Testament as oddfellows who only had messages of doom and gloom. That being the case, maybe there really isn't much in these books for today's modern Christian. Well, today in The Connection, Skip Heitzig reveals that nothing could be further from the truth. In fact, a good understanding of the Old Testament prophets actually leads to a greater understanding of God's New Testament plan of redemption. We'll explore that in more detail here in just a moment. But first, here's one way you can help people gain a greater understanding for God's plan of redemption for their lives.
What does your support of The Connection do? Well, it keeps us on the air so you can hear solid Bible teaching day after day, year after year. But it also does much more. It goes beyond your doorstep and helps us take The Connection to places like Belize, Micronesia, New Zealand, and more. Your $25 a month as a global connector helps us connect people all over the globe with the truth of God's Word. So please consider becoming a monthly supporter of The Connection and help this ministry continue, both for you and for thousands of people all over the world. Just call 1-800-922-1888. Plus, this month, when you help support The Connection, we'll send you a teaching from Dmitry Krupennikov of Russia. We'd like to help Dmitry and his ministry by getting The Connection on the air in Russia. And your support of the Global Connectors can help us do that. Sign up today for just $25 when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org.
Well, if you want to find out more about Global Connectors or communicate with us about anything here at The Connection, just email us at info@connectionradio.org. We'd be happy to respond to you. The Old Testament book of Isaiah actually plays a big role in the books of the New Testament, and we'll learn a little bit about why that's the case and what we can apply to our own lives from these prophecies. So stay with us.
And make the connection.
Today, we're in the book of Isaiah, so open your Bibles and let's join Skip Heitzig as he begins by pointing out that there are some people who read the Bible in large chunks at a time.
I'd like you to turn in your Bibles tonight to the book of Isaiah. Now, I want to begin with a little story that is somehow a bit humorous and a little bit convicting. There was a preacher years ago named Harry Ironside, and some of you have heard of him and read some of his commentaries. Well, he was meeting with a group of pastors one morning, and they were discussing what they did for their devotions that day. And so one pastor said, oh, I read Psalm, whatever it was. Another one said, I read Proverbs, whatever it was. And they came to Ironside, and they said, what did you read for your devotions this morning? He said, Isaiah. And they said, great, Isaiah chapter what? He goes, no, Isaiah, the whole book. I read all 66 chapters to begin my day. Okay, well, like, you beat us all now. You're like the most spiritual ever. But that's, I mean, it's quite a chunk. Even to do it from the Bible from 30,000 feet is a daunting task. And we're only going to cover a portion of the book tonight, the first 39 chapters, and 40 through 66 next week. We've finished the historical books of the Bible. We have finished the poetical books of the Bible. And now we are into the prophets. And we come to the Shakespeare of all prophets, the prophet Isaiah. And this is a fascinating book. And because it's so vast, and I do hope that you have taken the time to at least read some of the key chapters, if not the whole book, in a week. I know that even seems like a lot for a week, but we're just going to skim and cover some of the highlights so that you get the flow of the book and how it fits in the rest of the Bible. But back in 1971, there was a mission to the moon called the Apollo 14 mission. It was the third time they landed on the moon. And one of the astronauts brought a Bible. The first time ever a Bible was brought to space. It was a King James miniature Bible on microfilm, 2 inches by 2 inches square. It had been reduced 62,000 times its original size. But all 66 books of the Bible were placed in this tiny little package and brought to the moon. Some people believe that Isaiah is the literary version of that little analogy that I just gave you. That is, the whole Bible can be seen in one book, the book of Isaiah. There are 66 books in the Bible. How many chapters are there in Isaiah? 66 chapters. The Old Testament has 39 books. The New Testament has 27 books. That's interesting because Isaiah naturally breaks exactly the same way. The first 39 chapters have an emphasis. The last 27 chapters have an entirely different emphasis. So much so that some people believe two different authors wrote them. We'll get more into that later. The first 39 chapters, which we want to cover tonight, the main focus is condemnation. And then the last part of the book, the last 27 chapters, is about consolation. So from condemnation to consolation. So once again, the first 39 chapters are all denunciatory. The last 27 are all conciliatory. The first 39 chapters, the emphasis is on government and law. This should start ringing some bells. In the last 27, the emphasis is upon love and upon grace. Also, here's another interesting fact in line with that illustration. Isaiah chapter 40, which is what we would say is the New Testament portion of the book of Isaiah, opens up with a description that is given to John the Baptist as you open up the Gospels. Comfort, yes, comfort my people. The voice of one crying in the wilderness makes straight the ways of the Lord. There's very many interesting parallels as we go through. Now, the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, is the most often quoted prophet of anyone else that is quoted in the New Testament. 21 different times, Isaiah the prophet is mentioned and quoted in the New Testament. Jesus himself begins his ministry in Nazareth with a quote out of the book of Isaiah chapter 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. That's how he starts his ministry, by quoting the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah is called the messianic prophet because there is so much emphasis on the Messiah, on Jesus. Because of chapters like chapter 7 of Isaiah, the Emmanuel prophecy, chapter 9, which speaks about the birth of Christ, chapter 53, the atonement, etc. He's called the messianic prophet because so much of his prophecy centers around Jesus. By the way, the name Isaiah means God's salvation, or salvation of God. His Hebrew pronunciation would be Ishiahu. So you can say that when you go home. Tonight we studied the book of Ishiahu, and that's the book of Isaiah. By the way, salvation will be mentioned 31 times in this book. This is the only book in the Bible to give Satan the name Lucifer, or Bright One, Light Bearer, Lucifer. And it's one of two books in the Old Testament that describe the actual fall of Satan from times past. Now, I did mention that some people say that there are two authors. Let me just give you the rundown on this. There's a theory, and I bring it to your attention because some of you've heard of it and you've questioned it, called the Deutero-Isaiah theory, that not one but two authors wrote the book. that chapters 1 through 39 is one guy, and then a whole different guy around 540 BC after the captivity wrote chapters 40 through 66. That's one theory. There's even another theory that called the Treto Isaiah theory, that there are three different authors because of stylistic differences in the book. So chapters 1 through 39 is Isaiah 1 by one guy. Isaiah 2, or Deutero-Isaiah, is chapter 40 through 55, and then 56 through 66 is three Isaiah by three different people. And, yes, there are even more theories than that, of several different authors adding to it. So who really did write this book of Isaiah? Glad you asked the question. That's a question I aim to answer next week as we finish out this book. We see, got to bring you back somehow. Isaiah the prophet ministered for 50 years. He had a good, long season of ministry through five kings of Judah, all which are mentioned in verse 1 of chapter 1. A little bit of tradition. We don't know if it's true, but according to the best tradition, the last king, Manasseh, that he was ministering during his reign, tradition says that Manasseh took Isaiah the prophet and pushed him into a hollow log and had the log sawn in two. And that's how he died, as a martyr, sawn in two while he was alive until dead. He bled out in that log. Because Isaiah dared to point the finger at this idolatrous, wicked king and indict him and the nation with idolatry. Now, if that's the case, no doubt this is what the writer of Hebrews had in mind when he writes in Hebrews 11, verse 37, they were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, and they were slain with the sword. Last night, I was reading through a book. It was the Dead Sea Scrolls. It's a translation of the Dead Sea Scrolls. And I thought, you know, I want to go through these again. It's been a while. And in studying about them and in reading some of the literature that comes from the Dead Sea Scrolls, it dawned on me that the greatest discovery, perhaps, was the 24-foot-long scroll of Isaiah the prophet that can be seen today in the Shrine of the Book in Jerusalem and is taken out to different parts of the world on display in some museums. 24-foot-long, one solid, long scroll of Isaiah. Now, why was this find so important? Here's why. Get this. Up until 1947, when the scrolls were discovered, the earliest manuscript we had of Isaiah in the Old Testament dated from 895 A.D. A.D. But suddenly in 1947, this little Bedouin kid throws a rock in a cave, hears a breaking jar, goes up, finds scrolls. It happens to be the book of Isaiah that had been written around 200 BC. So suddenly, we have a book of the Bible that's 1,100 years older than the oldest manuscript that we have, the Ben Asher Codex from Cairo, Egypt. We have a book that's 1,100 years older than the oldest manuscript that we base our Old Testament on, the Masoretic text. But here's what is the best part of it. The Dead Sea Scrolls, the best part isn't what they found. It's what they didn't find. And what they didn't find is they compared this 1,100-year earlier manuscript with our, up to that date, earliest manuscript. They didn't find errors. They found no errors. They found 1,100 years of perfect scholarship and copying, 1,100 years removed. In fact, only 9 letters in the entire book of Isaiah were different from one manuscript to another. Now, you could say, well, that testifies to the brilliance and the scholastic abilities and the determination and commitment of the scribes. Certainly it does, but also to the hand of God upon them year after year after year after year as those documents were copied down. Well, tonight, we have time to only look at the first 39 chapters, which is a chunk, and we're going to fly over a lot of it. But after all, we're at 30,000 feet. So we want to look at condemnation. Now, I'm going to give you a brief outline. You can write it down. Here's how this first part, chapters 1 through 39, breaks down. Number one, the condemnation of Judah. That's the southern kingdom. The condemnation of Judah. That's chapters 1 through 12. Number two, the condemnation of the other nations. That's chapters 13 through 23. Number three, the condemnation of Judah and Israel together, woes and warnings. And that's chapters 28 through 35. And number four, the condemnation of Sennacherib. You're going, please don't make me write that word down. Okay, write Assyria then. Assyria, that's the nation that that king was in charge of. The condemnation of Assyria, or its king Sennacherib, and that's chapters 36 through 39. Now, if you just listen carefully to the outline I gave you, you're going, wait a minute, you left some chapters out. You left out chapters 24, 25, 26, and 27. And you would have caught that if you were really listening well and writing that down. You can see that now in your notes. So you're saying, what happened there? Here's what happened. There's this little parenthesis that we call, here it is, Isaiah's little apocalypse. Isaiah's little apocalypse, where he takes a break and he speaks about a way future series of judgments and glory that we have not yet seen, but that is coming. That's his little apocalypse. So that's a brief outline of where we're going tonight. Oh, by the way, you should know this, and we'll see it in the next several weeks. There's a noticeable feature about prophecy. I don't want you to miss it. Otherwise, it'll be very confusing. Prophets, when they look to the future, often saw things that would happen very shortly. Let's call that the immediate fulfillment to the prophecy. And they could see that what they're saying is going to happen very soon. But what they see is a template or a model or a grid that they could put up to the distant future, because what happens here is going to happen again there in a greater scale. So you have a prediction of the abomination of desolation. And that's in the book of Daniel. And they can see that that's going to happen in the future, but that's going to be a template for a greater abomination of desolation that Jesus talks about that hasn't happened historically, but that will happen in the future. So prophets were like guys with bifocals. You know, when you have bifocals, how many have bifocals? How many? Be honest, I do. I have a contact that goes there and one that goes here. And if I take them out and I have to wear these graduated lenses, I can focus on something up close, and then as I look up, the lenses adjust in the top of the glass so I can see in the distance. Prophecy sort of works like spiritual bifocals. You'll see something up close, but as you take what you're seeing and move it up into the horizon, it's a template for some greater fulfillment in the future. So, let's look at chapter 1 of Isaiah. And chapters 1 through 12, remember, it's the condemnation on the nation of Judah. Verse 1. The vision of Isaiah the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Thus begins a series of sermons by Isaiah denouncing, condemning Judah for its sins. Now this prophet Isaiah did not just foretell the future. He was very socially active, this prophet. He was a reformer. We would call him a social reformer. So when he writes, it's not all foretelling the future. It's sometimes a forthtelling of the failure of the people of Judah. Saying things like, wait a minute, who are you guys trusting anyway? Why are you making foreign alliances with Assyria or Syria or Egypt? You need to trust God instead of some army, the arm of the flesh. And a lot of his prophecy is about not trusting men, but trusting in the Lord. Okay, Isaiah's primary ministry, as stated in verse 1, is to the south, is to Judah, is to Jerusalem. He's living in Jerusalem. He's walking the streets of Jerusalem. He's giving his messages to the Jerusalemites and the people of Judah. However, he will include Israel, and he will include other nations around the world, and eventually he'll include the earth, primarily the south, Judah. I'm going to refresh your memory. Most of you are now biblically astute and aware, and you know this because we've covered it. By the time he writes, the nation is divided. The nation is divided. There's not one united kingdom. There's not 12 tribes that love each other and one solid government. It's split in two. Jeroboam and Rehoboam, years earlier after Solomon, split the kingdom. Now there's 10 northern tribes we call the nation of Israel, 2 southern tribes under the nation of Judah. Yeah, Judah and Benjamin, that's the south, in and around the environment of Jerusalem. Okay, here's the background. Very important. 150 years before Isaiah was born, the kingdom of Assyria was already gaining strength and taking over the world slowly. And the northern kingdom, 150 years before Isaiah was born, was already trying to work deals with Assyria to pay them off so that they wouldn't attack Israel, the 10 northern tribes. It didn't work. It backfired. By the time Isaiah the prophet had been born and was a young man, Assyria had already attacked the 10 northern tribes and taken some of them captive. By the time Isaiah the prophet entered the ministry and became a prophet, the 10 northern tribes had already fallen to Assyria in 722 BC. And by the time he's ministering in Jerusalem, in the full swing of the book of Isaiah, the Assyrians are sweeping down into Judah, conquering 46 of their cities and marching against Jerusalem. That's the background of the book that happens during these 5 kings and their reign. So Assyria is this huge threat, and it's very important, especially in the first 39 chapters. Verse 2, you're saying, you're going to cover 39 chapters? Boy, no way. Watch. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its owner, the donkey its master's crib, but Israel does not know. My people do not consider. Alas, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a brood of evildoers, children who are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked to anger the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away backward.
You know, reading through the prophets of the Old Testament can be uncomfortable sometimes because the things they convicted Israel of can also often convict us. And that's a good thing because just like Israel, sometimes we need our sins to be pointed out so we can repent and be rid of them. We'll continue our study in Isaiah next time. But before we leave you today, we want to tell you about a special offer here at The Connection that shares God's redemptive power in the life of an unusual suspect. Here's more about that.
Stephen Baldwin says, a life of faith can be like jumping out of a plane without a parachute. And in his book, The Unusual Suspect, he invites you to take that leap.
When you jump out of the plane and you got your parachute on and you're flying through the sky at 120 feet per second, you're going. I love the word go. I think go to me means share my experience, continue every single day to give my testimony, share my heart. What's God doing each and every day? Trust that God's Spirit working in my life can actually touch another human being.
In The Unusual Suspect, you go backstage in Hollywood and to the front lines of a radical faith in the entertainment industry.
A lot of Christians are going to Hollywood and they're saying, how can I make a difference? I think there was a grip that Hollywood had spiritually over our society and the culture. Now, don't get me wrong, there's still a lot of bad stuff. But I think that we're going to see a whole lot more in the content coming out of Hollywood that is going to be a blessing to the spirit of the next few generations.
Get the book, The Unusual Suspect, by Stephen Baldwin from The Connection now. Order online at connectionradio.org or by calling 1-800-922-1888. The Unusual Suspect provides Stephen's take on marriage, prayer, purity, divine intervention, and evangelism. Order your copy now by calling 1-800-922-1888.
And you can also contact us for a copy of today's teaching when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org. Today's message is available for just $6, including shipping, but anything you share above that suggested donation will help us continue to bring you these daily programs. And more than that, it will help us share these studies in the Bible with people all over the world. So if you can, please consider sharing a little extra with us when you place your order at 1-800-922-1888 or write us at P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the Word of God and find the way into His love. Make the connection. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Make the connection.
We'll learn more about Isaiah and the predictions he made, some of them about the greatest sacrifice of all time, as we continue through the Bible from 30,000 feet on our next program. The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.